Welcome to the Industry 4.0 podcast with Grantech.
Welcome to the episode of the Industry 4.0 podcast with Grantech. The Industry 4.0 podcast with Grantech is a look into manufacturing with focus on stories and trends leading to better solutions. Our guests have some tips and outcomes to help improve your productivity. My name is Dave McKenna from Grantech, our smart packaging solutions leader. And today I'm joined by Andrea Rotolo, who is global head of customer sustainability at a little company you may have heard of in industrial automation called Rockwell Automation. As Rockwell's global head of customer sustainability, she drives sustainability innovation and champions artificial intelligence and machine learning. Definitely hot topics today everywhere and in Industry 4.0 with a focus on sustainability. She's got 18 years of global executive experience. She co-founded a smart grid consultancy, led global energy initiatives, held senior utility roles. Andrea also holds a Fulbright doctorate in sustainability energy systems, two master's degrees, one engineering, one business administration, with a specialization in digital business strategy and AI from the MIT Sloan School of Management. I'm qualified to listen to you. Never mind. Talk to you, Andrea. Thank you very much for joining us on the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this conversation.
Awesome. Is there anything, just before we get to some of the interview and any of the questions, anything you want to announce, anything interesting upcoming for any of our listeners?
Well, I think we will probably cover this through the interview today, but I would just like to start with the time of sustainability coupled with AI is now, it's happening. And I'm excited to have this conversation and then hear from your listeners on what is their perspective, where are they at?
Okay, yes, absolutely. Both things we are hearing more and more and more in the world of AI and job changes and what new things can we do, and a lot of sustainability pressures, and both are in the news constantly, and how they collide or help each other or not. It's an interesting question. I'm going to ask our first question, the one we ask everybody who comes on the show. It's Industry 4.0. It's such a broad topic that has so many different things it does in a variety of spots in manufacturing. I want to hear your opinion. What does Industry 4.0 mean to you?
Yes. So Industry 4.0, which we also connect to, or we talk to about as the fourth industrial revolution, is talking about a pivotal, massive shift in the manufacturing landscape. And it looks at the integration of technologies like AI and machine learning with physical systems. It taps into the potential of cloud computing, virtual reality, and augmented reality. And an essential aspect of Industry 4.0, and I might be biased here, is the need to emphasize on sustainability and promoting strategies to reduce waste and minimize water usage, to also increase our productivity, to allow us to build and create more. Now, looking ahead, there's an emerging focus on transitioning to Industry 5.0, which is looking into, that's an evolution, basically, in my view, of Industry 4.0, because it's emphasizing the need for a human-centric design approach, which I firmly believe is the direction we should be heading in.
It's funny you talk 5.0. I imagine there's a lot of people who are listening. We didn't even fully sign on to 4.0 yet, or convert our plant or add in much more yet, and things are jumping to 5.0. Just what do you, a little more on the human centric difference with 5.0 and some of the things moving ahead in Europe?
Right. So Europe is basically asking us to transition to a new perspective, which will focus on designing the industry or manufacturing landscape of the future, centered on how humans would be empowered by the use of new technologies. And I think this is a critical aspect to take into consideration now that we are starting to really use AI and machine learning into our operations. It's just also interesting to see that responsible AI initiatives are also asking the same thing, are asking that we put the human at the center of the design of our new factories and our new operational systems. And that's why I don't believe that we need to first achieve Industry 4.0 to then achieve Industry 5.0. But actually, I would say the other way around. I think that we need to jump into Industry 5.0 for those that haven't started, leapfrog into the future, focus on designing the manufacturing centers of the future, putting the human at the center, ensuring that that our employees and our people are empowered by new technologies, rather than focusing first on the new technologies and then seeing how humans could fit into that design.
Couldn't agree more. I think in all this shiny technology and people with nice suits and clothing that are trying to sell it and in fancy boardrooms and so on, you forget, it's easy to forget about the operator who is really who this is all for. So that person can produce, can be running a line with greater uptime, can be producing with less energy, less water, and ultimately help their employer and help the customers of that end product. Does AI need to be human designed if it replaces the human completely? And I think that's maybe we'll not answer that one, because I think it's too early to tell, and predictions of no one needing to work have sort of failed to come true so far. But yeah, certainly always important to focus. I couldn't agree. Always focus on the operator, focus on the people that this is for, so they can work better and produce more. I do always ask kind of one question from a previous guest. And the one that I had was, what's an accessible way for folks who aren't in tune with Industry 4.0 to start with this? What skills should people focus on to break into this topic?
Right. So honestly, Industry 4.0, it's a quite challenging, and I would say daunting initiative, because it's interdisciplinary by design. But however, having said that, there is a pathway that people could follow to actually start to tackle this big challenge. One of the things that it's maybe pretty obvious, but sometimes we don't do it because it's quite obvious, is to stay updated with trends. Right? You always need to keep an eye in the future, what's coming, and ensuring that you're applying the best practices. So I suggest stay updated with trends, and know who in your company are focusing on what trends. Because one of the things that I noticed is that looking into what's happening, it's not done in an organized way. So have your experts looking at this data and create a centralized database where you are keeping all this information up to date. That would be one of the first steps I recommend. And then, of course, that you learn through hands-on experience. That's how humans learn the best. So consider taking up small projects or experiments, and always involve your workforce, because as you are testing new technologies out or new processes, you will also be upskilling your workforce in the process. They need to go through that learning curve, and that takes time. So the sooner you involve them, the better. And so when I'm thinking also as part of the skills that people need to have to be part in creating this Industry 4.0, you will need people that have technical skills on data analytics. It's absolutely essential. The future of corporations would be the design and operations of the companies of the future will be centered on data. You need your department or your experts on data analytics. You also will need people that have an understanding of cyber physical systems, which will also be data driven. So I would say that's a subset of your data analytics team. You need people that know about robotics and automation. You need experts on cloud computing and Internet of Things. And those are just the technical skills that I recommend you focus on first. So build your team, test things out, and stay updated with trends. So those would be, I would say, the foundational steps that you need to take. However, you also need to bring in people that are very good with soft skills as well. And the ones that I would recommend that you focus on are problem solving, adaptability. That's absolutely critical because technology is changing faster every time, right? Okay. The speed of that change is increasing. So you need a workforce that it's adaptable, and also collaboration. That's another big one. I think it's always been a big one, but as you are looking for your corporation to become a new thing, a new animal, and as that new animal needs to adapt to new external conditions, you need people to work very well together and to collaborate and to share information and to know what's the next step they need to take as they reconfigure the corporation from the inside out.
I mean, I think you've touched on some of this Industry 4.0. It's change. So it's really classical change management. It's building a team. It's making sure your workforce feels part of that change and that it's not just being dropped on them without them having some sort of input or involvement. And I think particularly as you touched earlier on AI and machine learning and those, everyone knows these are coming to some way, shape or form. Being a part of that piece can help address some concerns, potentially address some concerns and maybe fears that some people might have. I think your other point that you can do tests and learn by hands-on is a great one. And in particular, and I'd like your opinion on this, it feels like a lot of the Industry 4.0 things out in the world are easier to test and trial and do small pilots on than I think maybe some of the classical or previous industrial revolutions, let's say, where you can, because of cloud, because of the deployability of some of the software systems, because of wireless and all the other gamut of stuff in Industry 4.0, it is a little easier to run a pilot on some piece of it without potentially spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and or tying up your production line and having downtime to install something and so on. Do you agree with that? Have you seen examples of things that are lighter and easier to kind of drop in and just take it for a spin?
Yes, absolutely. And I can tell you with quite a high degree of confidence that corporations are going to be moving into testing these things out in the cloud. My strong suggestion is for companies to build models and systems, digital twins of operations, so that every time that you look to change anything in your process or to create an upgrade, that you test it first in the digital world. That's going to be a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. And also the beauty of creating these models in the digital world is that you can open it up to anyone in the world to be part of the innovation process. And what I mean by that is when companies think about their employees, they are thinking about their current employee base and that they can contribute to an innovation process, but that's not actually true. You can create a challenge, an innovation challenge in the cloud, and invite anyone in the world that wants to contribute to that problem to solve it. And you could of course, motivate people by rewarding them one way or another. But think about that concept. You can move from being a 25,000 people organization to, for that particular challenge, involve millions of people to jump into the web and to provide their feedback. And the one that provides the best feedback or idea would get a reward. So it's just, I think, a completely different way of thinking about barriers and what does it mean to be a company. And I do believe that the digital world enables us to rethink where those limits are and rethink what being a company actually means. So when I'm thinking about testing things out and these small pilots, I'm also thinking, do not limit the ideas to just a small team. Open it up to the entire company, and if you can, open it up externally as well.
And I think for probably some of us older folks on the phone, these would be new ideas of manufacturing, but this kind of thing has been done in software. Now I'm going to say open source has been running like this forever. Right. And those are large systems that have security concerns as well, but are running web servers and OSs for all sorts of important critical systems around the world. So there is kind of precedent for this being done beyond, I can think of my immediate thought goes to more marketing and naming of things and stuff like that for companies opening that up to a public or larger group, but it has been kind of done in the software world for a long time now. So potentially a new option for manufacturers as well. And when we think about solving issues at scale and stepping up, engaging the whole company or potentially bigger, what kind of problems are people trying to solve the most with Industry 4.0? Where do you see what are the leading problems in this?
Yeah, so some of those problems are the traditional problems, which are cost efficiency and productivity. Right, so we are constantly looking at reducing operational production and overall costs to improve the bottom line. And productivity always it's an issue or a concern, or we are striving to increase productivity. But now sustainability is one of those challenges. And I want to connect sustainability to talent acquisition here. In the war for talent, which is a real thing.
Okay. We're all paying a major price on that one every day. It is right. It is hard to find people, it is hard to keep people. And you're seeing sustainability as a tool for that?
Absolutely. Actually, there are multiple studies about this, but just to mention one, 4 out of 5 millennials, according to McKinsey, are prioritizing working for companies that value sustainability. Hmm. Actually, millennials are looking at what's the sustainability report from that company, how much progress are they making, do they actually mean it as one of the conditions before they choose to work for that company.
Wow.
So sustainability is here, it's real. And if you want to attract top talent, you have to do well on sustainability and actually mean it and have a good plan in place. And then other challenges is, well, retention of that talent. Yep. Gen Zs also are prioritizing companies that focus on sustainability. And so businesses need to create a work environment that aligns with these values to attract and retain talent. So it's not just about saying, I want to decarbonize my operations. And once you reach that target, you say, well, check, it's done. Sustainability is a journey of continuous improvement. So companies need to integrate that way of thinking and operating into their DNA if they are to acquire talent and retain that talent. And then, yes, any comments on that?
Yeah, no, I think, or at least if you can provide that bigger purpose, and that's really a core part of what leadership should be in a vision for a company, bringing in I can see bringing in sustainability that, yeah, we're doing a bigger, broader thing than just cranking out our widgets to keep customers happy on widgets. Really making a difference on hiring. And millennials are, and I don't have my demographer, whichever one it is, on standby, but I think the biggest cohort in the workforce right now, as this baby boomers retirement has really picked up, and Gen Z is maybe not entirely in the workforce or a smaller size anyway. So it is a priority, and I think that's a real knock on. Maybe most people aren't thinking of that as a maybe it's just an elaborate recruiting technique, but yeah, an important one for companies as well. And do you see growth in Industry 4.0 and growth in this helping manufacturing customers?
Oh yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There's plenty of growth as long as that growth will only exist in the context of manufacturing if the right decisions are made. And I would suggest that people look into, for example, artificial intelligence-driven sustainable supply chains if they want to grow. And within that, AI can optimize supply chains by predicting demand, reducing waste, ensuring that resources are used most efficiently. And AI tools can also track the carbon footprint of each product, promoting more eco-friendly choices. It's just amazing what it can do. But you would be looking into, again, bringing together sustainability with digital transformation. And I haven't brought this up before, just stepping back, Accenture has coined this term, and I think it's a very good one. They are saying that corporations are bringing together digital transformation and AI are 2.5 times most likely to be among tomorrow's strongest businesses. And I just think that makes so much sense because companies today are having to report on sustainability. Right? And so companies that actually report on sustainability based on actual operational data would be able to trace back any of that reporting back to the source. Therefore, that data is auditable. But once you create that database, once you have the data to report on, you can also use that same data to improve operations. And how do you improve those operations? Well, you would use advanced analytics, but at some point you can bring in artificial intelligence technologies to do closed loop optimization, to run your processes in a more effective way. And this is not science fiction. This is happening today. We have actually done it multiple times, and it's becoming a real way of thinking about how to reduce costs, improve productivity and sustainability.
I know back before we talked about some of the problems on reducing costs and having to have change management and build your team and have a data mindset in your workforce. And I think to your point, maybe that first level of that is that your own, you collect that data, then your team can make use of it. And then you're probably going to get benefits from that, but then you're going to hit a plateau or a limit. And then AI you see as kind of the next piece of it. There's insights it will pick out that no person could find that, or there's deeper things it can do with the data that these vast systems that let you manage all that volume of data and generate a deeper value from it. I think yeah. It does feel, I mean, you're right. I think it feels, I read something recently in the paper about a call center and changes to their response time to customers moving to more chatbot and feeding it in. So I think you're right. It is, this is a pivotable Pivotable is not actually a word. This is a pivotal
a new word.
It is now. as per this podcast, we create words and talk industry 4.0. No, it is a pivotal moment when these big, huge, powerful tools come into play and you're collecting that data for sustainability, but now you can use it also for your production management. And now you can make real use of it because you can feed it into an AI that can digest this vast amount of data and come up with something that you really couldn't on your own. So a bit of a, I guess, exciting times. And so what's the biggest challenge that you see manufacturers facing in kind of the next 5 years with this?
Many challenges. I don't know what the biggest challenge is, but I want to give you an example that I find mind blowing to see what your reaction is to this example. So you may know Alibaba Group.
Yep.
I don't know if it's the largest of one of the largest Chinese companies in the world, Chinese companies. And it's a massive corporation, and they have a financial arm called Ant Financial Group. And this group is running hundreds of millions of transactions among, they have 1 billion users. Wow. 1 billion users. It's just, they if you think about all the transactions that can happen within that network of a billion users, right? We are talking about hundreds of millions of transactions, and they are running that company, you know, with how many people?
No. 1,000 people.
10,000 people.
10,000 people for a billion users in financial transactions.
A billion users, and their cost to adding a new user to keep expanding and scaling is zero.
That's every business dream. Zero. Marginal cost zero.
Marginal cost zero. And so this is where things get very tricky and very challenging, right? You ask me, what are the biggest challenge? I think that there are multiple challenges, right? Upskilling your workforce, attracting talent, retaining, sustainability, increasing productivity, reducing costs. But I think that one of the most challenging topics that that leadership of corporations will have to address is the ethics and the responsible use of these technologies. That will have not only a deep impact within the organization, but also in the communities where they live and operate. Because this is just going to change how we work and how many people are hired and how many people are fired. So this will have very deep implications. And I think that all the right leaders, and what I mean by right leaders is that people that actually care, right, we'll have a very hard time with these ethical concerns. Now, I've been thinking about this for a while, and that's why I decided that I needed to take action. Okay. And I actually founded the first leadership working group in the world looking at integrating responsible AI metrics within the ESG, the environmental, social, and governance framework to assess sustainability, to address or try to address these questions, or even look at asking what are the right questions to ask and what do we need to think about when we are exploring how to build a sustainable future. Is a sustainable future one where machines are running everything and humans are not creating? Is a sustainable future one in which, and by the way, I'm talking many years down the line, right? But I think these are the challenging questions that some leaders may want to jump in and be part of the discussion.
That's an interesting one and not one I've heard or read of, that responsible use of AI being rolled into the ESG framework. And I can see that fitting, especially with concerns coming up about it and ethical use of it, and like any new technology, the ethics of it are still being figured out, and what is ethical to do with it and what is unethical to do with it, and particularly the people who run the AI and what should they be doing or not doing, or models they're mixing together from different companies. And it's an interesting question, and I think definitely since it has a potential impact in such a large part of the workforce and a large sections of companies, then yeah, what the rights and wrongs of it, I think, again, it's going to have a big impact, and it's really still being figured out. So thank you for helping us as a human race map out what we should or maybe shouldn't be doing with this. I imagine from a bottom line standpoint, it's going to be used heavily where it can. And if you don't, your competitors are going to be doing that. So that part comes.
Well, that's absolutely right. However, so when we look at the valuation of corporations, so far we have been using traditional financial metrics to value corporations. But that's the economy of the past. Now this economy is evolving, in which we are looking not only at traditional financial metrics, but also at ESG, environmental, social, and governance metrics to value corporations. So the sooner we implement that effectively, then the use of technology will not be focused only on, it will not be focused on generating revenue at the expense of diversity or of your impacting communities, or do you understand? It's a more complex optimization that we need to do into the design of those corporations. However, based on the traditional financial or economic model that we have, yes, you're absolutely right. They would use this technology just to reduce costs, but there's a new model, it's evolving, and that model of the economy, even though it will have flaws until we keep, it is an evolution, right? Mm-hmm. It could serve as a much better framework to ensure that the decisions that we make about technology are not at the expense of everyone else, and it's not benefiting just a minority.
And so what are some of the examples that you see around responsible AI and concerns around, like, why does AI need to be responsible? It's just a tool. It's just taking a bunch of knowledge stuff you poured into it and regurgitating it back to you. Why do we need to be responsible to AI? Isn't it just another tool like anything else?
Well, it's interesting because it's a tool that over time will not be able to actually understand what it's doing. And so that's why it evolves and it develops based on the input data that we provide. So if the input data we provide has biases towards minorities, for example, the output of that algorithm is not going to be something that it's positive. So that's why we need to be responsible about the use of the technology, ensuring that it's taking into consideration non-bias and human-centric design. And we also need to think about the consequences of the use of this technology. Just to give you two examples, Microsoft a couple of weeks ago announced that they have increased their water consumption by 34% because of the use of AI tools. So there was a spike in water usage, and also the energy consumption of AI has increased 10x every year for the past 10 years. So we're talking about a technology that requires quite a lot of energy and water to run, and this is just the beginning. So a responsible use of that technology would be one that takes into consideration the use of renewable energy sources. And we need to minimize water consumption as well, right? We need to solve that so that we can ensure that the benefits it brings is not undermined by the other aspects that it requires for its utilization. And bias is also a big concern as well.
And that's one of the I think for the involvement I have had in it, one of the concerns I have is transparency on, I'm using this AI tool. Well, what's the data that it's been fed on, or can I even, can I even manage that? If you did show me all of it, is it just too much for me to process anyways, but what's it fed on? And yeah, you don't know how it comes up with stuff. It just does. So if you're using it in a vision application, you threw a bunch of images in it. If you don't like the result, if you don't like the pass fail on a part that comes in front of it, well, that's just what it came up with. There's no way to sort of backtrack through its thinking. It's just, that's what the model made based on what we gave it. If you don't like it, throw something else into the model. So there is kind of a, it's hard to understand how it got to where it got to sometimes, which agree on that. And yeah, transparency from the creators of these, if they are adjusting or tweaking the results, which I'm sure the companies who build these are, how do you know what they're doing, and are they putting in what's behind the machine, what's behind the curtain, as much as even if they can, maybe they can't show you, because again, it's just all based on that model. So real good points and concerns on these. And on the energy usage standpoint, I mean, that's a big one. I know there was lots of noise about Bitcoin and all the environmental impact from that. And now we're going to have, you don't see the environment, the impact from your AI. You just go to ChatGPT and type something in and then smile at what it spat out at you. But yeah, there's another coal plant firing up somewhere to feed that, to feed all those processors. And there was a documentary movie I saw that actually predicted the AI would take over and we would all be just turned into batteries to generate electricity for them. And we would have to work a simulation.
I don't know. Which one is that? I don't know if I want to watch it.
It was Keanu Reeves was in it, I think. He was the actor in it. But I mean, you got a point. They're power hungry things, this, and you can't tell. I think that's the biggest
one
problem.
One question on that, Dave. If you get the blue or the red pill to take, which one are you taking?
Well, maybe take them both. I don't know. Take a double. Take the. I, why not? You know. Then you got the truth, but you can live in the dream too. Maybe you're not allowed. You have to choose one or the other. But kidding aside, you really can't see that. I think that's one of the challenges of all this, that you're just typing that stuff in your computer. You have no clue the impact on the other end and who's built that model and where they go. And maybe on that Keanu Reeves documentary note, maybe we'll end this. So thank you again, Andrew, very much for joining me on the Industry 4.0 podcast with Grantech. I hope for all of our listeners that you've enjoyed it, that you've gotten some insights and learned from it. So thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Dave.
For everyone listening, please follow Grantech on LinkedIn to stay up to date with everything we are doing. Please subscribe to the Industry 4.0 podcast with Grantech so you can have more of these wonderful podcasts downloaded for you. Email us any questions or feedback of your thoughts on Industry 4.0 to info@grantech.com. And please join us the next time. And again, Andrea, thank you very much.